Well, certainly computing has changed since 1974, and that's really the main point here, is that the law was written in 1974, the guidance was written in 1975, and hasn't really been had a major update. The only major change to it was in 1988 when the Computer Matching Act changed, and that just added a new title, and that didn't really address some of the basic issues that were created by new technologies from the 70s. So we haven't seen very many changes. And as we know, just looking at the way databases of personal information work, in the 70s, you were talking about smaller databases just because of the size that they could hold, and they were flat files, right? And now we have relational databases and even distributed databases, which have really changed the structure of how information is accessed and used, and the law has not kept pace in this case. While the structure of the law is sound, just some of the definitions of the law have fallen behind.
And you talk about updating the way and improving the way government does privacy notices, because right now those are sort of alien to people. They're sort of they're posted in the Federal Register, but there's a lot of them, and I think they sort of almost wash over people. They don't really have a realization of what's really in there.
Well, there are a lot of different kinds of notices, and the question is, how do we standardize them and make them readable for the audiences that they were intended? Obviously, the general public is not going to the Federal Register to read those notices, but they at least have to be able to be read by Congress, by GAO, by the IGs, by advocates, by journalists, to be able to do their job. The notices that are on forms that are supposed to inform individual have to be readable too. Today they're written in legalese, and they seem like they're more like disclaimers than they are about informing individuals about their rights.
One of the other big pieces in there is the group calls for an OMB to have a chief privacy officer, which was something that the Clinton administration had, but the Bush administration decided not to have. Why is the necessity of a chief privacy officer?
Well, in order to get the attention on the issue and to be able to have someone to turn to when these policies that we call for are created and updated, because I think one of the things we've seen is that the problem has really been that there hasn't been this kind of updating. You need someone at a relatively high level to be able to, with resources, to be able to take charge of this task and to take responsibility. Also, now we have one of the changes we've seen is we have had 10 chief privacy officers required by law. The 9/11 Commission Act required 10 chief privacy officers to be created in different agencies. So we have a series of the profile of chief privacy officers has been raised because of that within the agencies, but we don't have the overarching policy, and we need someone to head that up and be able to make sure that the agencies have the information they need. Today, there's not even anyone that spends full time on privacy at OMB. They're hiring someone at a low level, but there really needs to be someone that can take responsibility for the policy itself. They've really shown that they can be incorporated into the regular work and make the data flow of those agencies happen more regularly and better, and not get in the way of the data flow, but instead help to protect privacy at the same time that you're helping the management of the data. And that's really a chief privacy officer's job. So we have seen it be successful at DHS in particular. It was something that people were skeptical about early on, and I think pretty much universally at this point, the chief privacy officer at DHS has been seen to be a major success.
One of the recommendations in here is to re-examine, and I know OMB is in the process of re-examining the 10-year-old policy that agencies will not use permanent cookies. How did that come about that the group came together and said, okay, it's a time to sort of reassess whether this is still the right way the government should be doing business?
This was an issue that came up where some of the agency staff said to us, what the policy is for cookies today is we have to follow a certain set of rules and of procedures. We get approval to have cookies, and they can be completely surreptitious. And that just didn't seem like the right policy to us. What the board said was, if the user consents to it, if the person visiting the website actually actually says, okay, I want this cookie to be set, they should be able to have that cookie set, and that should be the rule. It shouldn't be based on whether some official high up thinks that the cookie should be set.
It's one of the challenges because agencies are increasingly using these web applications, and if one of those web applications leaves a cookie, okay, is that the agency's responsibility? How does that get delineated in this policy?
Well, we didn't go through that issue, but that is an issue that the group is planning on looking at in the future. The Department of Homeland Security is having a conference on those issues in June, looking at exactly those issues in more detail.
Increasingly, we're looking at privacy as a matter of people need to be able to choose what they're comfortable with.
Well, it's about user control. I mean, and we've seen this in a lot of different ways. And Facebook is a good example of that, right? When Facebook, which is more transparent, so when users don't see what they want and their privacy is threatened, they get very upset. So you see Facebook come up with these very intricate controls that users really like and actually use. So for engagement, when you have that kind of engagement, you need to have those kind of controls in place because that's what consumers are looking for.
You've actually created a privacy wiki. Tell us a little bit about what this is, how it works.
Well, usually when these reports get written in Washington, someone out there tries to craft a bill on it. And that's what we really wanted to do, was to craft a bill and that addressed a lot of these issues that we took from the report and turned it to Congress, who we know Senator Kaka and Senator Collins have been very interested in these issues. So, but usually what happens is that'll happen behind the scenes, and then it's up to the staff to decide how to vet it. We decided in this case, let's open it up, and we created this website, eprivacyact.org, where people can go and you can edit the bill yourself. You can raise discussion on certain issues. You think something got left out of the report, you think something got left out from the bill that CDT created, you can come and edit it, and we encourage people to do that.